You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People are not drawn to Christ by threats. There must be some other power that brings people around.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus, Savior of the world, remember us where we are. Forgive our sins, heal our hurts, give us life, and empower us with your Spirit. Make us joyful today in the sure hope of life that is truly eternal. To you we pray as you told us to pray, with faith in you. Amen. A real man died for real people that day on a cross outside the city wall. We remember him today. A real man spread-eagled on that piece of wood between two criminals in exactly the same posture on their pieces of wood. The people who saw it could never forget it. They described it graphically and laconically, something like television cameras picking up the scene. The first camera had just panned the crowd when the second caught the great Galilean being nailed to his cross. The only sound was a groan escaping his lips. Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they are doing. Now the third camera focuses on the two criminals, while the other two cameras swing around to take in what everybody has been waiting for. Three men, all of them terribly real, hanging on their crosses. The two criminals are talking. One of the criminals threw insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, Don't you fear God? Here we are all under this same sentence. Ours, however, is only right, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king. That brings us to a close-up of the innocent sufferer on the central cross. As he talks to the man on his right, Jesus said to him, I tell you this, today you will be with me in paradise. The setting is not a stage, and the drama is not make-believe. This is for real. The three men are real. The world's rejects, all of them. Two men are dying to pay their debt, as we say, to society. One man is dying to pay society's debt, giving himself for the sins of us all, our rebellion against God, our indifference to him, our ignorance of his ways, and our insistence upon going our own way, on doing our own thing, not knowing that the ends thereof are the ways of death. Real people are anything but good. Despite all of our high-blown philosophies about the goodness of people, we know better. Those crosses are the evidence of our failure as human beings. We have not lived up to the expectations, the justifiable expectations of a righteous God. We are not what we ought to be. None of us. There is none that does good. No, not one. There is no one who understands, who seeks after God. Everybody is preoccupied with himself. And that's sin, the sin for which he died that day. On Christmas Eve last year, I visited an army stockade in Southeast Asia and talked with prisoners who were there because of major crimes like murder, rape, and assault with intent to kill. They were young, like other young men you meet on the street. Among them, there was not one whom you could describe as the criminal type, whatever that is. Each was different, and each for real. I could talk to them individually about another man who is just as real. I could talk to them about that one man who was born for real, lived a real life just like ours, died for real, and rose from the dead as the real man he is. Is he for them as we like to think he is for us? If he's not for them, he's not for us. If he is for us, he's for them too. He's for everyone. And that's for real. Jesus Christ came for real people, not for imaginary stereotypes. We write off whole classes of people. They are all like that, we say. Or you can't talk to people like that. Well, he died for people like that. He writes off no one because he's rich or because he's poor, because he's black or because he's white, because he's had a jail record or because he belongs to the jet set, because he is old or because he is young. In the same set of circumstances, faced by the same fact of impending death, these two men turned out to be different, the one from the other. Both of them started out jeering at this Jesus of Nazareth, along with everybody else. One of them kept it up. Aren't you the Messiah? Why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, why not save us, too? The other one finally began to take a look, a long, searching look, as many others have done since that time. He fell silent, just listening and looking. Then he made a complete turnabout, a 180-degree about-face. He didn't just get religion. What he got was the reality of the whole human picture, seeing himself as he was, and that man in the center as he is. Have you no fear of God? He said finally to his reviling companion. We are all in the same boat, but we are only getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. I don't know how much he knew about Christ, but this he knew. This man has done nothing wrong. There's something great about that man, something that gives point to that ridiculous sign on his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. What if it's really true? What if? Yes, what if? What is it that draws people to Christ? It's not law, nor the fear of punishment. People all the time do things for which they know they are going to be punished. If they don't punish themselves, they will be punished by someone else. It isn't that which draws people to Christ. One of those men, punishment and all, kept right on doing what he'd always been doing, right down to the bitter end. Real people aren't drawn to Christ by threats. There must be some power, some other power, that brings people around, as one man was brought around that day. Christ himself told us what it is. When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. In that lifting, there is love. It is the love of God, sending his Son, his innocent Son, to die our death and to redeem us in spite of all the wrong that is in us. One of his men said later on, it is the love of Christ, the love he has for us, which impels people to come to him. Because we thus judge, if one died, all died. And he died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not from that time on live to themselves alone, but for him who for their sakes died and rose again. His men told us what happened there that day, so that everyone can know the love of Christ. Everyone in this wide world of ours, including its rejects. He's a real man, loving real people. The disciples who left him, the people who crucified him, the people who came out of curiosity, and the two who came because they had to. His love is an amazing thing. It goes beyond anything that we usually call love. People can spurn him, abuse him, and take advantage of him. But he still loves. The love of God in Christ is the most powerful force in the whole world. It still draws men to Christ. It still changes them, as only the love of God can. The love you see in Jesus Christ. Life was terribly real for two real men there that day. One of them rejected him, and the other accepted him. That's the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. One of those men said, "Remember me." He might have said, "Forget. Forget the kind of man I am. Forget the record I made. Forget me." There is a risk in asking God to remember you. What if he should remember what you really deserve? What if he should remember everything? If he remembers us as we are, who will ever stand before him? Remember me. That's taking the risk of faith in God. Remember me in spite of what I am. Remember me in your mercy. Faith is looking God full in the face and asking him to forgive. He's the one to forgive, all right. In him is mercy and plenteous redemption. That's the message of Christ's cross. One man got it that day. It wasn't easy then, and it's not easy now. This is the way. Remember me. In all the nobility of your royal death for the sins of the whole world, Christ Jesus, remember me. Jesus Christ forgives real sins. He forgave a real man with real sin that day. He does it all the time. There's absolutely nothing you can do about your past except to live with it until you say, "Lord, remember me." That's what the grace of God is for. For people trapped in real sins with no escape. When you see yourself spiked to the cross of your own guilt, unable to move, unable to rescue yourself, you begin to understand the grace of God with no claims at all, no offer of merit at all, no particular worthiness of his own to offer. This man said, "Remember me." He got the promise for the future, the promise only our Lord can give, the pledge of paradise. "Remember me," he said, "when, not if, you come to your throne as king." Now that's faith. Faith is trusting someone even when the evidence seems stacked against both him and you. Trusting a man to be king when he's dying, now that's faith. It was great sport to call him king there that day. A king must have a crown, so they gave him one. A king must have a scepter, and they shoved a stick into his hand. On his cross they hung a sign, "Jesus of Nazareth, King," as the final touch of sarcastic humor. That's the king to whom the thief turned and prayed, "Remember me when you come to your throne." This is faith, not in appearances, but in Christ the King. Appearances don't always tell the story. They don't tell anything about God. The story of God is in Christ. God, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not with him freely give us all things? Yes, he will. It doesn't always appear that way, but faith in God says he will. You can leave it up to him, and he will come through. Jesus Christ came through that day. It was a simple request. "Lord, remember me." The man got more than he dreamed of, the promise of paradise. Truly I say to you, today you will be in paradise with me. God promises more than anybody could ever ask or think. He gives more than we desire or deserve. We ask for a creek, and he gives us an ocean. People in this world of ours know all about Paradise Lost. They're always looking for it around the corner somewhere. Maybe in Paradise Lounge or Club Paradise. They travel to their island paradise, the one the travel agency is promoting at the moment. Others take trips to the altar with one spouse after the other, or trips to the motel to bypass the altar in a pathetic longing for paradise. Still others go on trips of alcohol or drugs in the hope of finding the land of enchantment. Real people long for happiness. Not all of them go down the sordid paths to find it, but all of them will tell you that happiness proves to be very elusive. A pastor told me about a young man who came into his office one day and said, "I am an unhappy person." He told how he searched for happiness and how it led him down many blind alleys. As an antidote to boredom, he had started gambling. Now he found it a habit difficult to shake. How to change? How to get out of this syndrome? The only real answer to that quest I have found is Jesus Christ. Nothing is so bad that he can't change it. He promises for the future, but he changes things today. He promises paradise with him. That's not a dream. It's real. It comes from a real man really dying for all those dying people. All those people dying without God and without hope in the world. You will be with me today in paradise. That's his promise. He's the one who can make it come true. Paradise is not a mountaintop to which we climb through our own achievements. It's not a never-never land to which you can escape by shucking responsibilities and freaking out. It's a gift of God. His gift comes to everyone who is with Christ. In him there is freedom from the past and power for the future. It isn't doing as you please, but going with him. Doing as you please leads to slavery. Going with him is the road to freedom. Freedom from the worst with the promise of the best. It's getting rid of the guilt and getting hold of life. His promise of life is real. It's not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It's for today. Today, he said, you will be with me. This is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life by faith in Christ is not just an idle wish for the future. There's no vague perhaps about it. There is sure hope, rooted in the death and resurrection of the real Christ, who really lived and died and rose again to give promise of an even greater life that is yet to be. Christ doesn't ask for your pity. He's Lord. He asks for your faith. Lord, remember me. He gives his promise, his lordly and royal promise, to all who put their trust in him. Amen, I say to you, today you will be in paradise with me. Amen.
To a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.